Hi, I'm Dr. Walter Matwichuk, and the purpose of today's podcast is to talk to you about the logic behind unconditional acceptance. I should mention to you that I'm a psychologist that was trained by Albert Ellis, and he is the pioneering psychologist who created cognitive behavior therapy, or what's known as also rational emotive behavior therapy. And my goal as a psychologist is to help people understand this powerful system of ideas so that they can adapt to the challenges of life. And so each week I try to generate an episode talking about a concept in REBT that is either poorly understood or needs to be understood in a better way. And rational emotive behavior therapy is one of the few cognitive therapies that talks about philosophical acceptance, and it talks about it in a very unique way. We encourage people to see that accepting what you can change produces healthy negative emotions that can play an important role in adapting to life. So we don't want people to be neutral or numb when bad things happen. We want them to have an appropriate sadness or disappointment and then to try to change what they can change. And we do this, we help people cultivate acceptance by challenging some of their rigid and extreme attitudes. So people will hold attitudes like, I have to do perfectly well. You have to treat me nicely, and life has to be easy. Now, the content of these three rigid attitudes could be different. It could be that I don't have to do perfectly well, but I have to perform nicely, or I have to treat other people nicely. And it might be that it's not so much you have to treat me nicely, but you have to at least be civil. Or it's not that life has to be easy, but life at least has to be fair. And regardless of the content of our rigid thinking, more often than not, the rigid thinking will not conform to the particulars of reality. And as a consequence, we will experience emotional disturbance. And so as an antidote to emotional disturbance, what REBT suggests is that we cultivate unconditional self-acceptance, unconditional other acceptance, and unconditional life acceptance. And one way of doing this is certainly to examine the evidence that refutes the validity of our attitudes that are rigid. So for example, if I said that life has to be fair, I could look at the available evidence and see that there is none, that life is often unfair. Events happen to people that are not happening to others. And therefore, the evidence shows that life is sometimes not very fair, and that's just the way it is. And we're going to encourage people to adopt an attitude whereby they desire or want fairness to be a part of life, but to recognize that it isn't going to always be that way and that they could tolerate that. Now, I like to also talk about what I call the logic of acceptance. So what I mean by this is that when bad events happen, even if we've done them, whether something bad has happened out there in the world where there was an accident, where we made a mistake, where we did something, used bad judgment, or even when good events happen. Once an event has occurred, once an occurrence has happened, the logic of REBT tries to show us that all the conditions were right for the event to occur. Now, when good events come to pass, we don't take a moment and think about how that good event should not have occurred. We easily say we want certain good events to occur, and they did, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And we don't give thought to what we're really saying. It is true. When good events happen, that's the way it's supposed to be, in an absolute sense. Because let's take the lottery. If I pull out the winning number in a lottery, that jackpot had to be mine. Why? Because it was mine. Nothing else, no other outcome happened. So in the strictest sense of thinking, it had to be the case that I won the lottery. Now, it could have been the case that someone else had the winning numbers instead of me, but that didn't happen. And so when good events occur, we don't really question the idea that they should have occurred. We just accept them, that's what happened, and that's the way it was supposed to be. But when bad events happen, either of our own doing or of factors beyond our control, we're inclined to think that they absolutely should not have come to pass. And this is where our emotional upset begins, because when a bad event happens, we teach in REBT that it had to happen, that all the conditions were in place for the bad event to occur, and to think that it absolutely should not have happened is false to the facts. Now, Albert Ellis, the originator of REBT, said that when people have a strong desire for a particular outcome, that we were, as fallible humans, inclined to think in a sloppy way, and that we are easily at risk to go from thinking that I want to win the baseball game to I absolutely have to. Or I want the world to be a fair place and it absolutely must be. Or I want her love and I absolutely must have to have it. I should have it. And what REBT is trying to show is that each of these statements are what we would call non sequiturs, that the conclusion that something absolutely had to occur, which in fact didn't, doesn't follow from the premise that we want something to occur. So people will think to themselves, you know, I want so-and-so's love, and therefore I absolutely should have it, and the world absolutely should be a fair place where I get what I want. Now, these two conclusions are inconsistent with reality. What is consistent with reality is that the conditions were not right for you to get what you want. And so it should not have been the case that you, in fact, won this person's love. It should not have been the case that you won the baseball game. Why? Because the conditions were not such that, in fact, your team or won the game. We may not know all the conditions that contribute to a particular outcome. In fact, it's not even important to know them. We might want to know them so we understand why something happened the way it did, why it unfolded the way it did. But in order to accept a particular outcome, we don't need to know all the conditions that gave rise to the happening. What we do need to do to accept a particular negative outcome is to acknowledge that it was a perfect storm, that everything was just right, and then what transpired had to transpire. Now, people say, well, that sounds a little bit like determinism, fatalism. And I would argue it's not. When we in REBT look into the future, we encourage people to try to shape the circumstances that will give rise to outcomes that they desire. So through hard work, we may very well lay the foundation for future success. However, if in fact we fail, the only logical conclusion to draw is that despite our best efforts to create the conditions for success, The conditions were in place. The necessary and sufficient conditions for success were not in place. And so the failure that occurred had to occur because something was missing. An ingredient was missing. Now, people very often have a hard time wrapping their head around this logic, and it undermines their ability to accept themselves, other people, in life. And in rationally motivated behavior therapy, we encourage just those three forms of acceptance: unconditional self-acceptance, unconditional life acceptance, unconditional other acceptance. So, for example, if I get cancer, well, all the conditions were right for me to get cancer and for it to express itself when it does. Same thing with being born. When a child is born, all the conditions are right for the birth to take place. And so we could say that I should get cancer when I do, because all the conditions are right for the expression of cancer. And when a child is born, all the conditions are right for the birth to take place. Now, people will not want to accept reality as it is. And what we're trying to show them in REBT is that it's better to accept reality once it occurs, because it occurred. So REBT is a very realistic approach to coping with life. We may not know the conditions that are required for a particular good or bad outcome to occur. In fact, we might be really curious about those conditions and research to look into a matter and see what produces a particular set of outcomes. And once we have thought about a problem and done sufficient amount of research, we then may understand what conditions produce what results under what circumstances, and thereby be able to influence the occurrence in the future. But when bad things happen, whether we understand the conditions that led to those events or whether we do not, it's irrelevant. A bad thing has occurred because a perfect storm is present and all the conditions are right for a particular event to occur. So I call this the logic of acceptance, and I encourage people to give careful thought to making statements to themselves that are supported by empirical data. So when a bad event happens, it absolutely had to happen. This is true. We could also add to that that it's possible that it could have been averted, but the conditions were such that did not produce an alternative outcome. And we could add that we wish the conditions had been such that an alternative outcome had taken place. But when we use language that carefully parallels reality, carefully maps to, or is consistent with the empirical data, REBT theory will argue that we will be better adjusted. We will be able to have healthy emotional responses to reality. And then going forward, we'll be able to live better with the outcomes that have occurred as outcomes happen. Now, I realize that this may be a very abstract type of podcast today, but it's a very important point that people get this idea of a perfect storm when bad things happen, because it's also a perfect storm when good things happen. And again, we don't stop and think about how it's a perfect storm when good things happen so often. We're more inclined to think It's a perfect storm when bad things happen and that they shouldn't be that way. Well, we might hold that nice idea that the perfect storm should not have occurred, but in fact, it did occur. And in RABT, we're going to encourage people to acknowledge that and live well with it. Because when we should on ourselves, should on others, and should on reality and say, you know, reality should be a certain way, the world should be fair, we add to our burdens. We multiply our burdens. We have the unfortunate set of circumstances that we face, and then we create a second set of emotions, emotional upset about the practical problem that we encounter in reality. So to sum up, I would like to argue that people will do better when they see that once an event happened, whether it be good or bad, all the conditions were right for it to happen. And therefore, their attitude towards what's happened is best. It's best to match their attitude to the reality. So we would want to say things like, I wish this accident hadn't happened, but sadly it did. It had to happen because it did. It's false to the facts to say it absolutely should not have happened. I would also like to mention that every Saturday at 9 a.m. in New York City, I do a demonstration of this application of logic and flexible thinking to a problem a person is willing to discuss with me. So people from around the world will attend my Zoom demonstration hour, and one of them will be a volunteer, and for 40 minutes I'll discuss with them a practical problem or an adversity that they're facing and show them how to apply some of the powerful ideas of rational emotive behavior therapy to their particular problem. It's free to attend, but you need the Zoom link. It's the same Zoom link every week, so you can write to me at rebtdoctor@gmail.com and request the link to the REBT Zoom demonstration hour, conversation hour. Or you can go to my website and put your email address in there. You'll clearly see the yellow box that where you could do this to get the link. And the URL of my website is rebtdoctor.com. rebtdoctor.com. And if you look around on my website, you'll see that there are a great number of audios and videos on rational emotive behavior therapy. These are they're free to take advantage of, and they're talks that I've given or other people have given, like Albert Ellis. There's a couple of conversations I have with a noted REBT therapist in the UK named Dr. Wendy Dryden, a good friend of mine and a co-author of mine. So I encourage you to explore my website, rebtdoctor.com. I would encourage you to attend on Saturdays at 9 a.m. in New York City. My Zoom demonstration, we've been doing it now for over 180 consecutive weeks. So my hypothesis is that when people attend and watch this regularly, they see REBT applied to a variety of problems, and they begin to learn how to apply these powerful ideas to their own problems. So it's really an opportunity to learn how to help yourself using these sensible ideas. REBT is really a realistic, sensible philosophy of life. And so I would encourage you to learn about it, read books on it. There's links to books that I've written and other people have written on my website. Take advantage of the free audios that are found there. Listen to all the different ways that I try to get these ideas out into the wild, so to speak. And I might encourage you to turn your friends on to REBT, because it's my belief that an REBT world would be a better, more well-informed world. And I should mention to you also that on March the 3rd, I'll be giving on Zoom a free lecture, an hour-long lecture on the core principles of REBT. So there's lots of reasons for you to go to my website, rebtdoctor.com, put in your email address, so you'll get my weekly emails that talk about the principles of REBT. You'll get notices of when I offer these special lectures. And lastly, you will also find out, you'll get the link to attend my weekly demonstrations. So I hope you'll take advantage of my efforts to disseminate these powerful ideas. I think it will help you have healthy emotions and in the end enable you to change what you can change. And when you can change things, to accept them. Over and out from New York.